You're listening to Podiatry Marketing, conversations on building a successful podiatry practice with Tyson Franklin and Jim McDonald.
Hi, I'm Tyson Franklin, and welcome to this week's episode of Podiatry Marketing. With me, as always, is my co-host, Big Jim Mack. So, Jim, how are you doing today?
Tyson, I'm doing well. I'm excited to jump into today's topic with you, but no, things are looking up here in Montreal. It's getting warmer by the day. Getting out for runs. Just enjoying the great outdoors here in Montreal.
Any heat waves over 20 degrees Celsius?
We're still waiting for that first one, but it'll be here before we know it.
Must admit, it doesn't take long to get climatized, though. I've been in cold climates where it's been like pretty cold, and you sort of take a few days to get used to it, and you're used to being rugged up, and then all of a sudden it'd be like a 10 degree shift, and you sort of go, oh my God, it's a bit warm today. But then you realize, it's not really warm, but your body adapts pretty fast.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it can be so much in the negative degrees Celsius here that once it gets to around zero, it can sometimes feel warm. But they say up here, or maybe it's other places that are cold, to say there's no such thing as bad weather. There's just, you know, bad gear or bad clothing. So if you got some boots, if you got a coat, you got some good gloves, some mittens, you're usually okay here in Canada.
That is a really, really good point. No such thing as bad weather, just bad clothing. So what are we talking about today?
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about five ways to get in front of your ideal patients. You know, in the past, we've talked a lot about different types of marketing channels and those things, but, you know, I kind of come back to a similar topic when I talk with podiatrists out there, and they kind of want to know what are the things that are working, but, there's so much information out there on the internet through different agencies or other people that are just kind of, I would say, more generic or generalized marketing strategies.
Yeah.
And every person who's taken time to really reflect about the type of patients they want to see in their practice should really focus more on kind of targeted ways to get in front of your ideal patients, right? You don't want to just kind of have a broad generic message to your local area. It's how can you really kind of get the most bang for your marketing buck by kind of getting in those types of niche or subspecialty patients you want to see. So that's what we're going to go over today.
Yeah, and it's good that we're covering, you know, you're keeping it to, like, say, the top five, because I've seen sheets that have been handed out by different companies, and they go, here's 155 ways that you could connect with your patients. and you look at them all, and you go, no one would have time to do 155 different things. So I think it's good to really focus it down to, like you're saying, the top five.
Yeah, you just need to make sure things are actionable, right? Like, you can get overwhelmed by all the different options and opportunities out there are to market or to get visibility for practice. But I try to narrow it down to these top five so it can really kind of nail them down so people understand what they are. And then if they're doing it in the marketing themselves or they're working with an agency or a consultant, they can really kind of focus on these things to make sure they're executed them before they jump in and try to do other things.
Okay, so this is where if I had a drum roll sound effect right now, I'd have been a What is number one?
Number one is to leverage local SEO and your clinic's website, right? So you want to optimize your practice's website to make sure that it's relevant for keywords of the types of procedures and type of treatment you want to do. When people are searching your local area, you're going to have a higher, you're going to show up more in local rankings. So you want to make sure that whatever's on your website are the things you want to do in practice. I see a lot of sometimes website agencies or marketing agencies will kind of put up cookie cutter websites where it's like the top 50 diagnoses and the top 50 treatments and just kind of slap it up there for a clinic. And that's really kind of not what you want to have, because it doesn't differentiate you from the competition, but also maybe there's 10 or 20 of those things on there you don't want to do in your practice. And if people call in and they're booking for those services, either they don't reimburse well, or you just don't enjoy doing them, or you think that it's just not something you want to do in your practice, you're kind of stuck in a way. So you need to make sure that you really hone in that website and the local SEO to make sure you're, first of all, you're doing the type of treatments you want to do. Also make sure that's mobily optimized, because people are looking and searching more and more on their phones. You know, we have our iPhones or Android phones, and you want to make sure that you're showing up on those phones and that your website looks good and people can make an appointment or get the type of information they need on their phone. So you want to make sure that you have content about all the different types of conditions and treatments you provide. Sometimes, providing some kind of preventative care and tips about it Also, you want to make sure that you're getting on kind of local online directories, right? So whether it be things like your Google Business Profile, you know, health grades, sometimes even ZocDoc if you don't have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Just getting on, you know, places like Yelp. So making sure that you have the right consistent amount of information about who you are and what you treat and your name, address, phone number is all accurate across these different kind of local sites will sometimes help you get more visibility locally so you can treat those ideal patients.
Yeah, and that was what you said then. It's about being consistent across all those different platforms as well. You got the same information, the same phone number, the address, it's all written the same way. So you don't have shop1/242. If you have 1/242, that's what you stick with. Don't keep changing and making it a little bit different.
No, exactly. You just need to have, like, you should be surprised. A lot of people will sometimes move the location of their clinic, right? They move across the street or across town. And there's, you know, 50 to 100 websites that are, you know, pointing to that old location or the old direction. Maybe a new podiatrist decides to move into your old location or another kind of foot and ankle care provider moves there. You know, now you're kind of almost giving them, you know, directions to your competitor in a way. So you want to make sure that when you have all this information on these local directories and review sites that it's up to date and accurate and you have someone watching over those. Because sometimes what can sometimes happen in a Google Business Profile is that, you know, allows users to upload and even make suggest changes. So if you have someone who's super competitive and maybe on the shady side in your local area, they can try to change your phone number, change your address, or even put up, you know, an unappealing looking photo into your clinic's Google Business Profile. So you want to make sure that you're moderating those things and that that information is consistent throughout all those kind of secondary websites and directories.
Yeah, I have seen that because sometimes I'll be looking for a business and Google have put a profile there and it'll say, is this you? Because they haven't claimed it yet. They haven't claimed their own business page there on Google. And you sort of go, oh, geez, it'd be easy for a competitor to come along and just go, yeah, it's me. And then start messing around with it.
No, it can sometimes businesses are named in a similar way, right? So if you're not kind of directing patients about where to go leave a review, maybe they go leave a review to a clinic. Maybe there's a couple of foot and ankle clinics in there. They just made a mistake. So you want to make sure that you're providing kind of the information is accurate, but also you're providing good information to your patients to where to fill out these reviews and to make sure that you have that information in a very clear area, both on your website and all these directory sites.
Okay. So what's next?
Next is, it's kind of a topic we've touched on a little bit in the past, but I think it's really, really important that we touch on it again. That's basically networking with both healthcare and non-healthcare businesses in your local area. Really building relationships with these like local healthcare providers, such as, you know, primary care doctors, physical therapists, orthopedists, other people that can refer patients to you for your specialized foot and ankle care is huge. And, you know, for example, let's say you're trying to build a practice where you're seeing kids or pediatric patients, and you just need to be visible not only to pediatricians, to other people taking care of maybe it's, you know, pediatric physical therapists. You definitely want to make sure that they know who you are and what you do. So whether that's spending time in their practice to, you know, shadow or hang out with them, inviting them to come over to your clinic to show them what kind of modalities and what type of treatment and what kind of treatment environment you have there, that can be a huge thing. Because these are the people that are in front of these pediatric patients, for example, right? And, you know, maybe it's also these non-healthcare businesses. Maybe it's kids' shoe stores. Maybe it's other places that service, you know, what are, you know, common kid, you know, injuries in kids. So maybe it's at a nurse that takes care of an elementary school, or there's just different ways to get in front of both healthcare and non-healthcare businesses to really get your name out there. And if you're, like I said, as a clinic, you're a local business. And the more that you have people that know, like, and trust you in these different aspects of your local community, the more likely they are to kind of send you patients and kind of build a positive referral system where you're sending people their way as well. So it's a win-win-win in that way.
Yeah, I used to find networking was one of the best marketing tools we ever did, purely just finding out what local business lunches were on, whether it was Chamber of Commerce or Cairns Businesswomen's lunch that they used to have on. So we would just, $50, you go along to this, listen to a speaker, have a good feed, sit at a table of 10 people that you didn't know who they were, introduce yourself, And the more you went back to these things, you were being introduced to people who were in the health industry, some who weren't, and then they would connect you to other people. And I found, right up even till selling my clinic, one of the last weeks when I owned it, when I was seeing a patient, and that patient that came in was one of the first people I'd met 20-something years ago at one of my first networking events, who was still a patient 25, 28 years later. So I think it's really important to just get it and connect with like the health industry and the non-health industry and be seen and be heard.
I couldn't agree more. And I think sometimes when you're younger and just starting off in practice, you know, you have more time than money. So you have an opportunity to get out there and see these, you know, these individuals and these associates and kind of be a part of some of these associations. And like I said, like by, you know, kind of going onto the non-healthcare side, you're going to find your way, you know, unless you live in some huge community, but everyone's got connection to somebody, right? And, you know, by showing value, by befriending people and just being genuine and authentic with them, you know, you'll be surprised some of the connections you can make down the line. Maybe it's a friend of a friend of a friend. And over time, if someone trusts you and you provide them value or just, you know, it's just a real, it sets up so many opportunities just to provide value to your local community. And just over time, the more people you meet, the more people know what you do. And just getting that visibility to anybody in your local area is going to set you up for success in the future.
Yeah, I like what you said then, though, about, especially when you're first starting out, you've got a lot of time and you don't have a lot of patience. So this is when you invest money into, because I know people will spend $500,000 in a local magazine advertising that, hey, we've got a clinic here. But that could equate to 15 monthly lunches that you could go to, or 20 monthly lunches. So to me, it's one of the things when you've got the time, get out there and go to these things and go and meet people, because eventually you'll get to the point when you don't have the time because you get too busy and you can't get out there. And then it takes a while before you get other people working with you, before you've got the time again to go out there and do it all over again.
No, 100%. And I think one of the things that, it goes without saying, but I'll mention it here because sometimes it's not super obvious, especially for younger people getting into practice, but go out and meet all the different podiatrists and foot and ankle care providers in your local area. There's definitely types of care that they don't want to do. Mm-hmm. And if you can be a great source for them, there's probably gonna be things you don't want to do. So if you can kind of find what people like to do and what they're good at, you can kind of almost find, a network of podiatrists who are kind of referring patients back and forth about different types of care. Some people don't want to do anything with kids. Some people only want to do sports medicine. Some people just want to do wound care. So, obviously we're trained, we can do a lot of different things, but, as you get into practice and know what you want to do, it's just a real benefit to not necessarily see everybody as the competition. Maybe there's going to be some people that don't want to talk to you or whatever, and that's totally fine if they don't want to do that. But, just kind of being that affable young or person coming into the community and showing that you're a team player and you're there to kind of help uplift the profession and the local community can mean a whole lot to people. And when I was in practice in Eugene, I had a great group of podiatrists who welcomed me with open arms. We had monthly meetings where we'd meet up, talk about different issues, different things going on at the hospital and those things. And you can really gather a lot of information, not only, getting more patients in your practice, but really get the lay of the land and understand what's going on in your local community to help podiatry grow in whatever community you're in.
No, that's a good point. So what's the third thing?
The third thing is basically developing kind of educational content and resources. And, this is something where, it helps you kind of get your kind of domain authority, whether it be, writing articles or, writing in your kind of local magazine or local newspaper, but just kind of addressing specific topics in kind of your subspecialty, whether that's through your blog, like I said, local publications. Maybe you're making YouTube videos about the type of patients you see and the type of care you provide in your clinic. Also, sometimes informational brochures to provide to other, healthcare or non-healthcare businesses to show them what you do. But when you do this, it really kind of shows people who you are and what you treat, right? And, what you do and what you treat because you're in your practice every day and you're doing it. But by developing these kind of educational content for your website and for other outside publications, it really helps the community and the rest of the people understand who you are and what you want to treat in a way that's helpful to them. So if you can create that content, That's going to help build trust. It's going to show your domain expertise and really help you get in front of those ideal patients.
Yeah, it is. It's, I reckon if you sat, even if you grabbed a group of your favorite patients, you know, somebody you class as your ideal patients, you shouted them to lunch and you got them, you know, six of them around a table. That's why they want to be ones that you like to hang around with. But if you actually said to them while you're there, hey, I'm taking your lunch because I just want to ask some questions about my clinic, I reckon you'd find half a dozen. You sit down with them and said, okay, tell me what you think, what you know my podiatry clinic does. And I'll guarantee you they only scratch the surface of what you actually do and the services that you can provide. So it's so important to create all this sort of content and resources and get it out there, because they only see the surface. They only, if you're not putting anything out there, they only see what the problem they come in with, and they only see what you put out there. If you're not putting much out there, that's all they've got to go by.
Yeah, it really helps educate them about all the different care you provide, right? And one other topic that, or one other area they can do that is through the kind of the, we've talked about this in the past about newsletters. You know, a newsletter shouldn't be about make appointment, make appointment, make appointment. Obviously, you can put that, you know, call to action within your newsletter, and that's totally fine. But it is also a way to help educate them about what you provide. You know, just because that someone came in for heel pain, they may not realize you do bunions, or they may not realize you take care of ingrown toenails. So to get in front of those ideal patients, helping educate them about what those procedures or those types of treatment you provide, it can be really, really valuable.
I was just writing down that patient lunch thing on a post-it note.
There you go.
I thought, oh, I like that idea. It's just something that I know. Every now and then we're talking about stuff, and as you're talking about stuff, an idea pops into your head that we mention, and all of a sudden go, oh, I know I could expand on that so much more and put together a framework on how you could actually make that work, like, as an effective marketing tool. So put it on a post-it note, which will then go into my brain book, and then I'll start working on that. Okay,
there you go.
What's the next thing? Number
the
four.
Next is to implement a targeted advertising campaign. So, you know, I think a lot of people will try to get onto Google search ads either themselves or through an agency, and they feel like they know what they're doing and they've got it all figured out. But really, when you make these kind of local, like I like to call them either areas we serve or local ads, it can be really, really beneficial because you can kind of talk about who you are and what you do. But when you're making search ads with keywords that are local, you know it's just going to be people in that area, and it's going to be very relevant to them, and it's going to really help you create kind of like the highest ROI form of advertising or visibility that you can get, because it's super, you can kind of craft it to a person in a location, right? You know, whether it's podiatrists near me or podiatrists in, you know, in Cannes or in Montreal, you can really make them feel like that you are talking to them in a way. It's not just a generic thing. Like I said, you can highlight the type of care you want to provide, so to make sure that your ideal patient knows it's for them. But I don't see enough people doing, I would say, like these kind of targeted local advertisements through Google search ads enough. It's always, you know, people focus on heel pain or surgery or bunions and those things, and those are fine, but they're much, much harder to get people searching for those terms. But a lot of people are looking for that local expert, and when you have a campaign that kind of, is really relevant to them and kind of satisfies what the type of search they have, you know, the kind of relevance that ties in the search query to the result, that's when it's really, really powerful to have these types of local Google search ads.
And this is what you help people do as well, isn't it?
It is. It is. It's one of the fun things that I love to do to set up people and just see the patients come rolling in with these types of campaigns.
Yeah. So if people are not sure what to do in that area, they should just reach out to you.
Yeah, I'm happy to help them out in any way possible.
Jim@podiatrygrowth.com. Is that right?
That's correct.
That is correct. Okay. And what is the, anything else on that topic?
No, I think that's good there.
Okay. What is the fifth and final, as your title said, hang on, I'm going to repeat. What is the fifth and final five ways to get in front of your ideal patients? What is number five?
Number five is to participate in community health fairs and events. You know, we talked a little bit about previously kind of networking with business owners and other healthcare professionals, but this is a way just to get with the people, you know, like this is, you know, maybe, you know, you're going to a local health fair, you're talking, let's say you want to do wound care, you're talking about, you know, why it's important that diabetics get their feet checked every 3, 6, 12 months, you know, what happens, and kind of showing your expertise so people are educated about what their options are. Maybe they have a mother or a husband who's a diabetic, and helping kind of spread information that's beneficial to the community. Also, you can get involved with different types of events, right? You know, we've talked about, you know, ways of public speaking. Maybe you're getting in front of a senior living facility, or maybe you're getting in front of a running shoe store to give a talk about running injuries. There's a lot of different opportunities that if you reach out to these different organizations or businesses, they'd be more than happy to let you speak to them and help educate their clientele about the type of care that you provide. Maybe it's providing, you know, free foot assessments, like I said, educational talks, ways to prevent injuries. Sometimes you can even sponsor some of these health fairs or events. You know, I always enjoy participating in the medical tent at marathons. By being out there in the community amongst your patient, you show them that you're not this like guy in the white coat that runs, you know, comes into the office and comes into their treatment room for 5 or 10 minutes and tells them what to do and then leaves and they never see you again until the follow-up or never again. It can kind of endear you to the public that, oh, that my doctor is in the marathon tent. He was taking care of me. Oh, I saw my doctor at the diabetes health event. And they can really shows that you're willing to go that extra mile. And, you know, when you get into healthcare, it's really about, you know, we kind of dream about helping other people. And when people see you kind of giving your time and effort, even outside of your own clinic, it really shows them that you are a valuable, not only expert in the local community, but you're a valuable member of the local community, and really can build that trust to kind of help you get in front of those ideal patients. Like I said, if you're in a specific niche, there's probably 5-10 events at least a year in your community where you can really provide value and education for those types of patients, and you should really take that opportunity to do it. So yeah, that's kind of the top five there of the five the best ways to get in front of your ideal patients.
Yeah, well, on that last one too, we used to attend a lot of health expos and health fairs and running events, and we were always putting our hand up. And as soon as we heard about an event, we would try and find out who the organizer was, send them an email straight away, say, can we help, like in the running tent? More often than not, it's always a yes. They're looking for volunteers. We had helped, I think when I had my clinic on the Gold Coast before I moved to Cairns, they had the Gold Coast Marathon, and would volunteer each year, and we'd get our jacket with marathon thing on there. And it felt great to be sort of just part of the whole event. And then when you finish going into the medical tent and seeing if they need a hand with anything. So it is a good way of, like, you see your patients, but then you're, like you said, your patients see you out and about doing something, and not in exchange of money. You're doing it, you're giving your time, and I think it just reflects positively on you.
No, that's totally right. And I would say also a lot of these event directors or the event managers, they're usually a fantastic resource, right? Like, and usually a fantastic connector, because they're having to organize a lot of people to get involved and volunteer in these events.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have so many connections. So if you're providing volunteering and value to them, it's only kind of human nature that at some point they would want to kind of reciprocate in a way, you know, just to kind of, there's give and take even in volunteering and those kinds of things in a real positive way. So yeah, I always enjoyed that aspect when I was in practice, and definitely I hope people who are in practice now will take advantage of that.
No, I think it's fantastic. So everyone needs to dive onto those. I'll repeat the title again: 5 ways to get in front of your ideal patients. So Jim, that is fantastic. And I look forward to talking to you again next week.
Sounds like a plan, Tyson.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Podiatry Marketing with Tyson Franklin and Jim McDonald. Subscribe and learn more at Podiatry Marketing. That's the website address, podiatry.marketing.